Coming up, a Sad Styles production.
Get into it!
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 26 of the Good Buds Podcast, a show about the Toronto Maple Leafs. Not marijuana, but marijuana is the best. My name is Joey Belfiore, and I'm here with Andrew Bascom. Andrew, what is going on?
Oh, nothing. Just excited about some Toronto Maple Leafs hockey. Where, you know, it feels like it's all getting very real now. Everything's very tight again, and it's very exciting.
It is getting real. Just a sidebar here. Mm-hmm. So fantasy hockey playoffs are going on right now, and I'm in the middle of like an intense semifinal matchup. And last night, I watched the entire Los Angeles Kings versus San Jose Sharks game.
Oh my God.
I might be the only non-San Jose resident to watch a full San Jose Sharks game where they're not playing your favorite team.
Wow. Oh my God. I think you're entitled to compensation. Yeah. Wow. That's unbelievable. I've been following the San Jose Sharks, very, very closely, as people know on this podcast, because I have a big bet for them to be the last place team in the league. So I've been following along, and I haven't even watched a game.
Yeah, it was rough. It finished and it was like 110. And I was like, what am I doing?
What is my life?
Yeah. Anyways, the Leafs, 43-23-9, yes. 95 points, third in the Atlantic. It is getting tight and close. You know what? Yeah. Like, I got to bite my tongue when I say, you know, we've been locked into our seed. It's boring. We know what we're doing. Because now it's not. Like, we can move up to two. We can fall down to four. There's a lot of things that could happen. We'll get into that in a bit. But let's recap the week. A lot kind of went on. A lot of different games we can talk about. Whether it's the Sabres, the Panthers, or the Lightning. But let's start with the Tampa game. Obviously, we lose 4-1. Sort of the big things to talk about, I think, are Joe Wall has let in now the first shot in three of his past four games. Wow, yeah. Trouble speaking over here.
Yeah.
Not a good stat.
Yeah, not good. No, it is troubling. It's like, Cause then there's moments and then Daniel sell down and you're like, oh, he looks pretty good. And you know, like, I know giving up four goals is not great. I would say two of them are, I don't know who's stopping two of them. It's like a guy alone in front of you 5 feet away. So, but you know, that first shot thing, you can't have that. And it's not giving you a lot of confidence, especially if we're going to be talking about a made up or semi battle between, you know, who's going to start in the first game, even though I think everyone's pretty settled on this idea. Wall's not making it much of a competition.
No, I think Sammy's running away with it.
Yeah.
I think he has run away with it. I think it's over at this point, pending, you know, something crazy. But yeah, you know what I mean? Like, how good are teams' records when they go up 1-0? Pretty good. Especially good teams.
Yes.
Like, usually when you score the first goal, your winning percentage is pretty high. Yep. So to let in the first shot, going into playoff times, that's just terrifying. That's something you don't want to do. You don't want to be going down to a team like Tampa, Florida, or Boston early. It's just an uphill battle and you're just putting yourself in a tough position. And I'm not saying each of those first goals were Wall's fault specifically,
but
that being said, still, it's still a problem.
Yeah.
You know, when I was young, I remember my coach used to tell me you're only responsible for the first shot of the game.
Oh, really?
So my old coach would hate Joe Wall.
I completely agree with you. It's really tough and it really is deflating, you know, putting your team against a wall immediately is just, you know, a tough go. So like it's this double-edged sword though. Cause we talk about this where it's like, what's Wall's biggest issue? Inexperience. And then we're like, but you know what? We shouldn't play him a lot. Cause we need Samsonov to get warmed up. And you're like, okay, well that's not helping him solve his one problem. It's like, yeah, too bad. You know, it's like, what are you going to do? Go sign up for a bad team, I guess, where it doesn't matter who starts. But it's like, it is like this unwinnable battle right now. And I feel a little bit for it, but you know,
I think at this point of the season, you're tough to be like, okay, let's get him as many starts as we can to get his experience up. It's just not the right time.
Totally.
We've got two more back-to-backs to finish to finish the year. So he's getting in at least a couple more times. But I think this is the time where just like get Sammy in a rhythm. Sammy should be going against the competition, the best competition that we're seeing.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens.
Well, yeah. And like the other side that we're not talking about too, is that we're seeing the best Sammy we've seen all season in the last couple of weeks. You know, when we went on that long winning streak, the previous to this one, cause you know, we're something insane right now in the last kind of, you know, 20 games, is that when we went on the last streak, he got a lot of wins, but it was like also like with an under 900 save percentage. And you're like, oh, okay. So it wasn't really because of him. Now it is very much he's a participant in this. It's like he's getting closer to 920 and he has made some just absolutely hellacious saves. So it is a very big part of it. And so I think, yeah, you just got to, you got to play him, especially because like you were saying, these wins really do matter.
Yeah, since Sammy's been back from that reset, 912 save percentage, which is all you can ask for. I'm better than we've had all year. So I think that's there's your answer right there. Yep. But someone who's also coming back, Andre Vasilevsky, man, he looks sharp. Tampa Bay looks like a problem again. And if I'm being honest, as a betting man, which I am, in that first round, whether Tampa plays Boston or Florida, I'm betting on the Tampa Bay Lightning. Like, I think they are going to make some noise.
I completely agree with you. It's this weird thing where we do this, you know, we'll have these fun fictional conversations. Like, who do you want to play first? Do you want to play Florida? Do you want to play Boston? Oh my God. The one thing we don't seem to talk about a lot is that Boston really, really choked last year. You know, like they were a historically good regular season team and lost in the first round. And so if you were going to go into that first round again, especially against an experienced team that, you know, knows how to play in the playoffs and all that, you know, yada, 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 why wouldn't Tampa beat Boston? Like, it's totally more realistic than I think the odds will give you.
Yeah, and I mean, the knock on Tampa has been they're not as deep as they were, which is true.
Yeah.
But when you're rolling like they're rolling and you've got guys like Kucherov and Point and Stamkos and Hedman, the list goes on, and then Vasilevsky, who, as we've seen before, can literally carry a team as far as it needs to go. It just, it's something that I think needs to be just looked at.
Yeah.
Simply looked at because... Yeah. I think right now, as season ends today, Tampa Bay versus Boston, like, that is a hell of a series.
Yikes.
That's and I'm glad one of them is taking the other one out.
Oh, 100%. Yes, it's a let them fight situation, Alien versus Predator. Like, it's I love that idea. And whereas the other side that I was just going to say about Boston, like the side we don't talk about, the other side about Florida that we don't talk about is that Bobrovsky had to stand on his head to make them get to the finals. They played great, but they played low-scoring games, and he played amazing. He's not been that guy before that moment for a couple of years, and he hasn't been really this season. They played well, but it's not like he's been insane. They really require that. Vasilevsky, on the other hand, has shown that for continued periods of his career, almost his whole career, he is just an incredible goalie. And so, like, that is more realistic to say, well, which goalie do you think is going to stand on his head faster? It's like, well, I would think Vasilevsky because I've shown longer periods of that. So I just the Tampa Bay thing is scary, and it's not talked about enough because we talk so much about Boston and Florida. Rightfully so,
yeah.
But you know,
it's true. We have been focused on Boston and Florida for months, and we haven't, you know, looked in the rearview mirror and been like, "Holy fuck, Tampa Bay's 2 points back of us."
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, where the fuck you come from?
They're right there. It's like a Michael Myers. Yeah, never dead.
Yeah, you know what? I wasn't mad with our first two periods against Tampa. I thought we played well. Third period flat, and this can kind of go into the Florida game. And, you know, reminiscent of the Edmonton game a couple weeks ago, something's going on with our third periods, man. Like, strong starts, whether, you know, we're neck and neck or we're coming out to big leads. But we've shown that in the third period we can take our foot off the gas a little bit, which is a little worrisome because, you know what I mean? Doesn't matter if you're up 5-0, 4-0. We've seen it. Teams can crawl back. If they're hungry enough in that third and you're – out to fucking lunch, like, teams can crawl back. And if you're coming out there flat every single third period, you're not going to win a lot of hockey games. We were lucky, I think, to save that lead against Edmonton and Florida. Florida made it real close.
Oh, real close.
But like, when you look and we're already down in against Tampa, when we've got a third period like that, like, the game was over. When Stamkos scored, like, the air was completely gone. It was like, we have no chance of winning this game. I don't know why I'm continuing to watch the rest of it.
Yeah, I know. Honestly, it kind of feels like that. I agree with you. And I think there's something to be said about our special teams that we're going to talk about in a little bit. But there is something very similar. When you kind of, you know, shelter and you kind of you turtle a little bit and like, oh, we're just going to play defense. You know, classic football expression, you know, prevent defense, prevent the loss, prevent the win. You know, like you're going to allow teams to score on you a little bit to not allow big stuff. But we're not very good on the penalty kill right now. And so the idea that whenever they get a special teams in the third or they pull the goalie, those are similar situations. And you're not very good at it. And there's some obvious reasons we're missing some players and things like that. But it is terrifying that we're talking about three goals in the third. We're not talking about like, they scored a goal and it made it tight. No, they're talking about like a barrage of goals that we can't seem to hold big leads, which is terrifying.
Yeah. Into that Florida game, Leafs with a I don't want to say comfortable because, yeah, Florida made it 5-4. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. the first two periods were surely comfortable. Like, oh, great yeah. way to come out, to really stick it to Florida, to the team that looks like, I mean, I don't know what looks like what anymore. So Whoa. Let's just say if the season ended today, mm-hmm. we would be playing the Panthers. so you like seeing that. Yeah. One thing I don't want to see again is the kid line. I'll say that.
Oh, yeah. You know, you're done with it, eh?
You know what? It can be exciting. I think you want to do that all you want between games 40 and 60, go for it. I don't want to see a lick of it in the playoffs. Right. Nick Robertson, Matthew Nyes, and Pontus Holmberg, you know, like all those players individually, together as one, you've got not much defensive responsibility there. You've got not much experience there, and you've got a lot of tough situations that they're, you know, expected to work through. I understand Keefe is now in his I'm trying things out
yes.
era.
Yes.
Which that, is interesting because it's yes. like, we still need to win, man.
I know. It is funny that he's doing the thing of like, you figure it out. And you're like, oh, okay. Like, you know, he left that fourth line that the Reeves camp, I forget who it was. There was a
Dewar, yeah.
Dewar line. And he just got like, you guys figure it out. And then they score immediately. And it's like, okay, well, they showed us, I guess. Yeah, I completely agree with you that like, I'm glad he's doing it. Like part of me is kind of glad he's doing it. But at the same time, it's like, hey, it's really tight now. We do kind of do need these wins. Maybe we put the second line on.
Yeah, like I understand doing that at different situations in the season. It just is weird to do it against a team like Tampa who, you know, Kucherov comes over the boards and then it's like, what are we doing here?
Yeah,
That was child's play. Cam flipped the front of the net and Kucherov, beautiful pass in front. Like, finds Braden Point. I don't understand. You know what I mean? I get you want to see your team in certain situations. You're going to be stuck in the playoffs. You know, icings happen. Yeah. You're going to have guys caught on the ice. But at the same time, just like, what did you expect?
Yeah, no, I know. Like, it did exactly kind of what you think. Like, every once in a while, there's like these real jolts of offense, which we're going to talk about lineups in a bit here. And that's something we got to talk about because in the playoffs, we desperately have needed some offense. And so like that kind of stuff is really exciting, but it can't be, you know, you can't just work towards a zero. It can't be like, well, we give one up too. It's like, well, that mm-hmm. doesn't, that's not the way it works. Did you see the thing on the broadcast about Braden Point's stick? I was completely unaware of this, that he uses more than a roll of tape on the end of his stick.
No,
it is. Not. It looks like a fat putter. Like, you know, like those big thick putters yeah. where you put your whole hand around. I can't believe he wraps his hand around it. It was unbelievable because they were using that in comparison with Bertuzzi, who uses, I think, two.
Oh, I did roll. See that with the, Bertuzzi switched to the camo tape.
Yeah. Yeah,
I did see that.
He goes around once and he's like, yeah, that's good. I think I'm good with that. Whereas Braden Point has something that looks like a baseball bat at the end of it. I couldn't believe he puts his hand around it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's Ugh. Hilarious.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I think like, it's just interesting. I think there's a lot to take between both that Florida and Tampa game. We're going to be seeing both Florida and Tampa again in a couple weeks to finish the season on a back-to-back. I don't think we're going to be showing as much as what we will be showing in game one. Kind of, I mean, depending on what the standings are like, and do we need two points in the last day of the season? Mm. But that Buffalo game, something positive to take out.
Oh, yeah.
Holy
lots of
mother
positives.
Of God. That was awesome. Just that was like great. An amazing crowd. Why weren't we there?
Oh,
awesome score 60.
You and I messaged each other the next day, like, why didn't we go to that game? It's like, it's so close. Oh, God.
I know.
And affordable.
Affordable, close. The weather was nice enough to drive down and not worry about driving down in December or something like that. Like,
a real miss on our part because the crowd was absolutely amazing. The people painted with the Matthews, the 60 balloons, just incredible.
Yeah, the 60 balloons is hilarious. Like, I wonder, like, when you walk in, security is just like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, we have no technical rule to take this away from you. It's not like an octopus, you know, like, okay, you know.
Yeah, because I know, you know, they'll take away signs that aren't, not even, like, offensive. They'll take, like, if you go in with a sign that said, like, Sabres suck or Leafs suck, they'll take it away from you.
Yes, yes.
Like,
yes.
No negative signs are allowed in buildings. I know from experience.
I was wondering if you're going to bring that up. Yeah,
I will. I mean, okay, it's not really a Leafs thing, but,
no, but
Andrew and I
Buffalo
went to
thing.
Andrew and I went to the Bills game a couple years ago, and they were playing the Patriots. Andrew's a big Bills fan.
Yeah,
I, you know, I'm a Colts fan, but I hate the Patriots, so I wore a shirt I had made that said "New England sucks, major butt." And when I was walking in, security made me. They're like, either you're not coming in, or I'm taking that. So I was like, oh, really? So security takes it, throws it in the garbage, and I kind of just waited for him to turn the other way. And I ran, picked it out of the garbage, may have had a few drinks in me already, and put it back on.
I have the clearest memory of you and I running from the garbage, giggling, like running, like, yeah. You know, like, oh my God, running to our seats. Yeah, that was fantastic. But that's a good example. Yes, you could not wear a shirt that say the Buffalo Sabres suck major butt. But
yeah,
I was shocked. Like, even just the seats that those guys got to spell out Matthews is right behind the bench.
Yeah,
like, unbelievable.
And, you know, Brian Hayes was talking about this on Overdrive. Like, mm-hmm. you can't get that in Toronto. Obviously, like, it's so unrealistic, but like, you're only getting packs of two or packs of, like, you're not getting anything more than four.
Right. Oh, that's an interesting. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. You wouldn't get six seats across or whatever, how you spell Matthews.
Seven. Yeah. So like, it's just like, how do you, you know, that's an opportunity for, you know, big weekends, you know, whether it's like friends trips down to Buffalo or bachelor parties, anything like that.
Yeah.
Like, it gives you that opportunity to take six, seven, eight guys and you're all sitting together. And that's a lot of fun. You can't get that in Toronto. You want to go to a game with eight people, like, you're splitting it, whether it's 4-4 or 2-2, 2-2.
Right. Yeah. If you're spelling Matthews across in those seats, you need like the CFO of BMO to paint himself one of those colors too.
Yeah.
Like, you're in on this, right? Okay, cool. Yeah. Let's do it. You're the S. Yeah, it's just, and just so loud. And it, like, I know this is a very obvious conversation. If you're listening to this podcast, it's because you like the Toronto Maple Leafs and you understand that Scotiabank is very quiet because of all the money that it requires to get a seat and all that kind of stuff. This is beating a dead horse, but it is just remarkable when you compare it, going like, well, Leafs fans are very quiet. It's like, they're not. Just the ones that can afford tickets are very quiet. And when you watch true fans, you know, be able to fill a barn like that in Buffalo, holy God, that was really exciting. It was so loud. It came through the television.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, whether it's Buffalo, whether it's Ottawa, you know, Arizona, like, Florida regular season games, not so much this year or the past couple of years because Florida and Tampa have gotten really, really good. But
mm-hmm.
I mean, in years past, like, games in Florida, whether it's Fort Lauderdale or Tampa, are massively showings. And it's all around the league. Like, even Calgary, Edmonton, like, when we go out there, it's crazy. It's almost 50-50. It's a lot of fun. Just makes you kind of want to, like, look at the schedule when it comes out next year and be like, okay, where are we going?
Yeah, let's just book a trip. You know what I mean? Yeah, we'll do our own road trip, I think. Because that, there is a party, you know, they'll make that joke when the playoffs will start to be like, you know, you can fly to Florida, stay there and get a ticket for the same price you could go to Scotiabank. And then I'm always like, yeah. And then now that I'm older and have like an income and stuff, I'm like, wait a second. Why wouldn't I do that? That does sound like fun. You know? Yeah.
Yeah, especially, I think it's because it's also like last minute. Like, I've been looking at this. I've been looking at flights to Fort Lauderdale coming in April just to kind of see. Yeah. But like, you don't know what night it's going to be. So you're booking everything last minute, right?
Yeah. And that's true.
Schedule comes out and you just got to basically make a decision. Say, all right, hotel, flight, tickets, let's go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. That does sound like a lot of fun. But yeah, Buffalo, the atmosphere sounded awesome. Austin Matthews scored 60. It just was a win all over the place. They kicked ass too.
Yeah, Matthews got 60. He's now at 63 amazing. Goals. A lot of, you know what? Like, what do you want? Do you care? I don't personally care if he gets 70 or not. I just want him to hit 66, which passes Ovechkin for the most goals in sort of the modern era. Yeah. Just to give him sort of that title of since the lockout, since the dead puck era, who's got the most amount of goals. 66 would be the number. Ovi hitting 65 in his career at some point. But yeah, 70, if he gets hot, it's nowhere near impossible. Seven goals in seven games. Easy.
No, absolutely. No, because he does score in bursts. You know, he finally got an empty netter too the other day. So like, he's got two. He's of 63, which is just unbelievable. He's giving himself a little bit more of a leeway of like allowing himself to score more goals. So like, it is totally reasonable. And because it's one of those ones where like a lot of records or like in-game records, you need games to be close for like numbers to keep going up. And we are tight, so we need him to keep scoring. So it's not one of these things of like, double shift him against San Jose because, you know, whatever. No, we need him out there, so it's great.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Still a lot to play for, whether it's, you know, not wanting to fall or climbing up. Someone that will help that situation is returning. The Mitch is back. Mitch Marner back at practice. Yeah. Back on line rushes, is going to get in tomorrow or today, whenever you're listening to this, Saturday night against the Montreal Canadiens.
Mm-hmm.
A welcome sign. Oh, Mitchell, I have missed you.
Yeah, it's truly remarkable what they've been able to do record-wise without him, but it's not been easy. Like, it's just, you start noticing all the many ways that Mitch Marner affects all parts of the game when he's gone. And I just, the scoring, yeah, that's great. Matthews has been scoring. That's totally fine. It's the defense and the penalty kill and, oh my God, all this transition stuff that I just cannot wait for him to be back. It's, you've really missed him. Like the
power play, man.
Oh,
our power play is Jesus. So goddamn bad.
Oh my God, it's bad.
Okay, it was what, the Tampa game where I think in a specific power play we had like 3 offsides because, yes. And it's not, you know what, when we enter the zone and we, you know, we controlled puck. We controlled puck. Possession. Yeah, we control puck. We've entered the zone. We're snapping it around. That's not what concerns me. Right. You know, if you don't score, but you're snapping it around, you're moving it nicely, you're getting a couple shots on net, that's not concerning. It's the entries to me that is so infuriating because teams, I think, have us on tape where they're just standing up on the blue line and they're not allowing us to enter comfortably. Yeah. So we're, you know, obviously drop back pass, which is driving everyone nuts.
Yeah.
And then you got someone like Domi trying to carry it in and at the last second tries to make a move that causes the entire team to go offside. So yeah. I just like, I can't even believe I'm saying this, but I'm like, can we just dump and chase it for once?
Why not though? Like I just, okay, well, this all conversation will be kind of negligible because now Mitch Marner's back and there'll be a lot more cohesion and, you know, whatever. The passing will get a little bit crisper. And I will also say, I sided with Joey. I'm now on Joey's side where Connor Timmins was on the power play one and it ended. And I was like, yeah, I think we've seen enough.
Oh my God.
I think we've seen just about enough of that for now. But yeah, I agree with you. The why not dump a chase when it's not working? Like, I just don't get that, you know, the five of them have not played enough together without a few key members. Cause we're doing that without Riley for a long bit too. And that was also very clear. But yeah, it has looked ugly and there's been very little results.
It's been horrifying. Yeah. And you know what, if the drop back pass is working, which it has in the past,
sure,
then that's fine. But when it's not, and you're just beating a dead horse and you're just like, you know what, we're just going to keep trying it. Even though we know teams are reading us.
Yeah,
I don't understand why you're not turning elsewhere just to give it something else. Because once you've settled in and you've got possession in their end, I don't see a problem with what we're doing. I think, you know, the personnel is totally fine to be able to move the puck around and to score goals. It's just entering the zone and getting comfortable where it seems like sometimes it takes us a full minute 20 and then we finally get in and it's like, okay, we've got 20 seconds left with power play one.
Mm-hmm.
To try to get one shot on net and hope it goes in. It just seems like, oh my goodness. You know what? Well, Marner's back and you know, they're practicing right now and PP1 is the core five, you know, Marner, Tavares, Matthews, Nylander, Riley. Like the good old days. So we'll see what happens against Montreal.
Yeah. Well, Montreal, I hope it's like a coronation with coming back. I hope they just don't make this game tight, even though we do this with Montreal all the time.
Even though
we just said this, we do this with Buffalo all the time. And then they just came in there and kicked the shit out of them. So it's like, oh, that'd be nice. Wouldn't that be a nice relief if it is like a 3-0 game again?
Yeah. We just need one more win to clinch, which would be nice. Get an official clinch in Montreal would always be a nice little reason to put a smile on your face. But now with Marner set to return, you know, everyone's been asking the question, where does he slot in the lineup? Does he go back with Matthews? Where does he go? And, you know, we can kind of take a stab at it, but there's no need to take a stab at it anymore because the lines have been released as they are practicing today. Bertuzzi, Matthews, and Domi remaining on the first line. So Keefe is keeping that first line together.
Love it.
And putting Marner with Tavares and McMahon on line number 2.
Oh, man.
Yeah, meaning Nylander's going to line 3. So the core is being spread out. The spread package, Nylander going with Holmberg and Nyes, and then Kampf, Duehr, and Reeves on line 4. So, okay, here's my question.
Yeah.
A, do you like this? And B, how long before Marner's back with Matthews?
I am saying this with all honesty and knowing what Keefe does, where he announces the starting lineup and then the start of the game, he goes, I'm going to do whatever I want. And you're like, okay, cool. That's totally fine. You're the head coach. So I understand that like it could be within the first game that it would change, but I'm saying more for the starting lineup to change. It will. He'll be back. That'll be totally fine. But I really do like this. I think the worst thing that this team has had going in the playoffs is they just can't score goals. And that's mostly because it's condensed to 2 lines. All of our scoring is condensed to 2 lines, and we don't have any depth scoring. They put out their best 2 lines against those top 2 lines, and they've found it to be, you know, negligible. It works to negate their skill. spreading them out, especially when we're talking about paying these guys as much as we are, spreading them out is the best way of doing it because you can never match them up perfectly. And we have shown that Matthews, Domi, and Bertuzzi has been a dangerous line. The Tavares, Marner, and McMahon line sounds great. And moving Nylander to the third line when he has 40 goals in the season, it's not a minutes thing because they're going to play kind of equal minutes when they, especially when they move them around in special teams and that. I love spreading it out. I think this is absolutely worth it. And you could, worst case scenario, you always move them back. And we have that. But I think if you just move them back from the day that Marner comes back, it's like, well, we already know this. We've already seen this. Like, why not try something different?
Yeah. I like this to try out.
Okay.
Like, would I throw this lineup out there in game one of the playoffs? I'm not sure. I think we should see how this kind of works. I do love Tavares and Marner together. You know, yes. That just reminds me of Tavares' 47-goal season when we first got him. They work magic together. Matthews can play with anybody. I like this as its, you know, standalone lineup for tomorrow, for the end of the season. Let's try it out. Let's see what happens. But I will say, the moment we go down, Matthews and Marner are going back together. That's my bet.
That's probably exactly what's going to happen. Can I just say, like, we're talking about the you're looking at the lineup totally too, but the defense I find very interesting with Riley Bushkin, Benoit McCabe, and Giordano Brody. Now that is, Giordano Brody is the first time we've ever seen this, and that's a very interesting, because Edmondson is supposedly getting healthier, and so he could be back. The part that I want to talk about is Giordano Brody, but also I think I've seen enough of Lyubushkin too. I don't really understand what he is giving to this lineup. I think Joel Edmondson, I can't believe I'm saying this, I think Joel Edmondson would be actually a genuine replacement, a better replacement, because he is doing something positive to the lineup. He is playing very physical. He can handle the puck just as well as Ilya Lyubushkin. I think I can. And then, you know, he's playing with a big guy with Riley. I don't know. I'm really sour on Lyubushkin in the last couple of games.
Yeah. I haven't seen much I've liked from him.
Yeah.
That being said, I would take this six right now, like the ones that you just said, Riley Lyubushkin, Benoit McCabe, Giordano Brody, over who's healthy. Like, I like how Giordano's coming back in the lineup for Connor Timmins.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen enough of Connor Timmins. I saw enough of him come December. But yes, when Edmondson is healthy, I think Lyubushkin comes out. Or Giordano comes out. Or if Liljegren's healthy, then I think it's Giordano and Lyubushkin coming out.
Yeah, but yes.
The problem is, and they talked about this on the Leaf Report, like, then who do you pair with Riley? Because then you're looking at putting Riley and Brody back together, and it's like, I don't think you can do that.
No, I don't think I think we've seen enough of that. I think that's the same thing we were saying earlier.
So at that point, right, you're looking at Benoit McCabe works together, and then you can't put Riley and Edmondson doesn't seem right, because then you're putting Edmondson on his right side. Like, why are you doing that? And then Riley and Liljegren sounds like an absolute disaster.
Oh, that's a bad idea. Yeah, I think you got to split those two up. I think you keep it. Why not Riley, Edmondson, and Brody Liljegren?
So then Edmondson's playing on his offside.
Playing on his offside, but he is the Luke Shen, Ilya Lyubushkin filling in the middle for Pinchy McGee, you know, when Riley starts to freelance.
Pinchy McGee.
There is no perfect combination yet, but I think Riley plus defensive big has worked well in the past. It's just not, Lyubushkin's not the same guy he was. And I think you should try to look, even if it's Edmondson on his offside.
What about Riley Benoit? Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah. Like
if you go Riley Benoit, Brody McCabe, Edmondson Liljegren, because Edmondson Liljegren was looking really nice before Lily got injured. Brody McCabe has some experience together. They played last year in the playoffs together, and now that Brody's playing a little bit better over these last few games, I think, you know, I've loved Jake McCabe's game. Like, can I just say, Jake McCabe, thank you.
He is such a Toronto Maple Leaf, though. Like, he is a classically, like, 75% talented and then just isn't afraid to just hit everything that moves, and you're like, oh, I love this guy so much.
Also, watch an interview with him and you're like, you're American. You've got the most Northern Ontario accent I've ever seen in my entire life.
I just wonder, you spend enough time around hockey and it's just like, it's like a sympathetic accent.
Yeah. I'm just like, oh yeah, he's American. He sounds so Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, maybe that's what I would do. I don't know. Riley Benoit, that's something that's interesting that could be experimented with. But again, that's what I guess these last seven games are for. But at the same time, it's not just throw whatever you can at the wall because you got to get wins. People want to experiment. There's a guy named Dom that we all know so well, Mr. Analytics himself, that wants to do something super egregious. Yeah. So let's talk about it, because this is egregious.
This is egregious!
Okay, here we go. Egregious.
This is egregious!
As we all know, Leaf Nation, no stranger to exaggeration or overreaction. We're all fucking egregious here in Toronto. However, this segment is to highlight how ridiculous and egregious Toronto fans and the media can get. So Dom wants to put Nylander at center with Marner on his wing.
Oh!
So, okay.
Wow.
We've tried Nylander at center many, many times. It works. It's not that it doesn't work. It's that Keith goes away from it after 2 seconds.
Pulls the plug so fast, yes.
So I just don't understand why that would be what you're doing going into the playoffs to just try something that is seems completely out of left field.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like that just seems like we're like, okay, I'm looking for something to write about in these last 2 weeks of the year because, you know, we're all kind of just stuck waiting for the playoffs right now. Why don't I pull out the Nylander at center experiment out of my butt? I don't know. It's not that I'm looking at that and I'm like, oh, the Leafs will lose every single game or they won't succeed with that. It's just more so I don't understand why you're trying it at a time like this. It seems
that's the thing.
A little silly.
Yeah. Okay. So what, Tavares goes to the third line then? Like what does that mean? You know, like,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just seems, you don't want to load line two with Tavares on the left wing, Nylander at center and Marner on the right. So I guess Tavares goes to the third line. I don't know. It just seems like I'm just writing something ridiculous to write something ridiculous.
Yeah. The timing of it makes no sense. If this is the All-Star break, you're like, yeah, no. Okay. Maybe they're not playing that great. You know, maybe we try this. It's like, hey, Tavares, you want to try playing the wing for the first time in your career? Like, that's a great idea right before we go to the playoffs. I do think there is a future to this. Like, I do think, but it's just not right now.
Yeah, it just seems like now is the wrong time to try something that really mixes up your whole lineup.
No, I completely agree with you. That is kind of egregious. I think he's just trying to, you know, you're right saying about the Leafs. It gets clicks, that's for sure.
Got me clicking.
Hey, absolutely. All right, my I don't want to spend more time than I have to on this. This is so egregious. Because everyone's aware of the guy and his daughter that dress in the away jersey of whoever is playing against the Leafs at the ACC. I do not want to
think losers are the words for the name, Andrew,
these
right?
People
losers.
Drive me fucking crazy. I can't believe how mad it makes me. And so therefore, I do not want to give them more oxygen because that's what they require. I think it's insane that this guy makes a living off of scalping and then dresses in his jersey to mock people for caring about something. I think that one of the least likable qualities somebody could have is going like, haha, you care about something. Fuck you. It's like, well, do you not like the team? He goes, no, I don't even care at all. It's like, oh, that sucks. I hate that so much. But the thing I'm going to say, and the egregious part is Sportsnet, stop showing these people. Stop showing these two fucking losers. They're the, and it's like, I understand that they're the only two people in the arena that they can find, like cheering against the Leafs. So they keep showing up, but you have to be aware of this game. You have to be aware that this is happening. So stop doing this. Like, it's just justifying a bad behavior. And I think it's bad.
Yeah. I mean, clearly they do care considering they're paying so much goddamn money to do this, whether it's on tickets in the lower bowl or paraphernalia of the other teams. Like, jerseys ain't cheap, man.
No, the jerseys is the most expensive part. He's a scalper for a living. He doesn't need the tickets. You know what I mean? Like, he's holding on to them.
And just there's so many things wrong with the Sportsnet broadcast.
Oh, there's so many things. Do you hear that they're going to be selling to Amazon? That is the big rumor. They're going to sell the package because they're losing so much money on it. That is supposedly like not like a rumor. That is like something that very much might happen.
Whatever gets Sam Cosentino off my TV in an intermission, I'm cool with that.
What is with that and his facial hair? Yeah. Okay. Whatever. Yeah.
Next up, the Toronto Maple Leafs go into Montreal for their last date with the Canadiens of the year. Should be good. Then we've got the Penguins, the Devils, and the Devils again. So the Penguins are interesting, man. Yeah. Sidney Crosby is willing his team to the playoffs. Like, this is wild. A couple weeks ago, they were so far out of it. That whole race in the East is getting really close, whether it's the Islanders, the Capitals, the Penguins, the Flyers. I think the Sabres are kind of still hanging around, but not really.
Yeah, not really.
But how impressive is this? Just like a team that sold at the deadline, a team that is so, I don't want to say horribly built, because I think it's just at this point, like, the core is just it's patchwork. So I don't want to shit on how that team is built, because obviously they've had so much success in the past and I think they've just passed their prime, but here we go. They're saying, we're not done. It's time to claw back and The Penguins are making it interesting. That Monday night game is a big one. And
big.
Yeah, the last chance to see Crosby this year, still a point per game, 19 seasons. Unbelievable, man. Sid.
It is crazy. Two things about the Penguins, though. Like, the point per game thing is kind of like a made up stat. Like, I don't, it's not like, yeah, it's like, oh yeah, when he plays, he gets a point. It's like, okay, well, that's, you know, I don't know. I think that's kind of whatever. I just think the Penguins construction entirely, the hardest part, and this is like a LeBron thing that they talk about all the time, is like, well, how is LeBron going to stick with the Lakers? And you're like, LeBron has helped make every decision possible for that team. And you can't tell me Sidney Crosby has not had an approval on almost every addition, every contract extension, every whatever. And to say like, let's see if he sticks around. It's like, that team, you know, I don't know. I just like the reason Malkin gets resigned, the reason Letang gets resigned, because he wants to be with these guys. The reason they even trade for Erik Karlsson, there's no way they don't run it by him going like, what do you think? Should we get him or no?
It's
like,
of course.
Well, I'd love to get him. You know what I mean? So I just think the idea, it's like, well, he might go to Colorado. It's like, okay, thanks. Appreciate it. But I agree that he is putting the whole team on his back because they have looked brutal at times and they're still in it. And that's very impressive for him.
Yeah. And Nedeljkovic is kind of really getting hot there. Putting Tristan Jarry to the bench, which is interesting. So we'll see how that goes on Monday because that Penguins team is going to be very, very hungry. All right, Andrew, you want to test my brain?
I would love to. It's a game where I put Joey on the spot to see if he can remember Lee Smith's pass and what number they wore. Joey's currently 48 for 51. He got one wrong last week, actually.
Yeah.
But each player he gets wrong between now and then at the regular season, Joey will donate $10 to You Can Play Project Foundation, working to ensure the safety and inclusion for all that participate in sports. Joey, are you ready?
Ready.
Okay, here we go. We're going to go back all the way to 2017, a team, an interesting team. we're going to go with two players here. We're going to go first with kind of an interesting member that will eventually be in the Hall of Fame. We're going to go with Patrick Marleau.
12.
Oh, well, that was it. You got it. It was number 12. He played all 82 games that year, and we needed to attach a first-round pick to get rid of him.
Father Patrick. Man, I miss Father Patrick.
Famous Carolina Hurricane, Patrick Marleau. And the second player is going to be a defenseman and another addition, Ron Hainsey.
Have we done Hainsey before? Well, regardless.
I thought so. I searched it and I can't find him on this very long list of players that we've done.
Okay. Ron Hainsey wore number 2.
He did wear number 2. God damn it. I thought you were going to catch. I thought the Marleau thing might have been just, you know, it's like, what, did he wear a different number? No, he did not. Well, you went 2 for 2. Congratulations.
Ron Hainsey, number 2 in Toronto, has been the worker's man's defensive number for a long time. Simon Benoit, Luke Shen.
Yeah.
Who else? Ron Hainsey, Brian Leetch.
Brian Leetch, yeah.
Yeah, that half a year that he played for us after the trade deadline.
Well, good to know. I don't have to bring up Brian Leetch later. Okay, good, yeah.
All right, the Arizona Coyotes have a plan. We've heard this before.
Sure, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, God. Yeah, but they have a plan on a new arena, right?
A new arena in Phoenix. I watched a little video. Looks kind of cool, but will it happen? They got to win an auction, a land auction first. Same sort of thing happened with Tempe. Didn't go through, didn't pass. So we'll see it when we believe it. Will there be a team in Arizona in the future? I don't think so.
I don't know. Like, you know, Elliot Freeman's been talking a lot about this on 30 Thoughts podcast, and it's just going to be greed. If they don't move, it's because they want to keep expanding so that the owners can keep getting expansion fees. You know, expansion fees can be up to billions and billions of dollars, and each owner just gets to take that. It doesn't get shared with the league or with the players, and so they can just pocket $200 million. And it would blow my mind if they do not figure out the stability of Arizona and keep expanding. You know what I mean? Move them to Salt Lake or whatever the next place is. And the big one they keep talking about with Arizona is that if they sell to Matt Ishbia, who is the current owner of the Phoenix Suns, who's a big wealthy guy and then could help play in that stadium. I just, the arena thing, unless they break ground, what are we doing? Because I have seen so many renderings of a new Arizona arena now. Yeah. And this is like the third time.
It is. It's like, okay, here we go again. Like, we will see it when we believe it. But until then, I don't know, man. It's just a joke to me. It's just a full-on joke. Yeah. Alrighty. I think that's all the time we have today. If you made it this far, we appreciate the hell out of all you good buds. Thank you so much for listening. Go Leafs go.
Go Leafs go.
When you're back down, when you're back down to Mexico, I hope you feel better like you wanted to then. I know we haven't talked. No, we haven't talked in a while, but my hands have missed the feel of your cold black hair.
Sad Styles Production.